And we're going to read together verse number 1, Job chapter 33. We do have an outline in the foyer. If you want to follow along with the outline, there's also a word search there for the book of Job that you could use to help you throughout the week. And we'll give you some perspective on Job's life. Look what the Bible says here, Job chapter 33 and verse number 1. If you don't have a Bible, you'll also find one in front of you in the pew. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth. My tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He maketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man." Let's notice that statement there again. God is greater than man. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray you would help us as we study it together. I pray that you'd give us understanding and direction. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say. Lord, I understand that I'm unable, incapable of helping anyone. Lord, it is through your Spirit and by your word that we find help in time of need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use your word to guide us and direct us. And may you be glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Job was facing some pretty difficult circumstances. Now, you can read about it if you're not familiar with Job's life. But, I mean, we could say this morning that Job lost everything. He lost everything. He'd lost so much. His wife said, "You know what, Job, just curse God and die. I mean, the end has come." His friends accused him of sin in his life, that he had strayed from God. And yet in Job chapter 33, really what we find here is Job is defending his position. He's defending his position. It must be a terrible thing to be accused of something that you know in your heart you are innocent and that it isn't true. And this is where Job is in his life. He's making his case. He's defending his position. And it's almost like he's in a courtroom and everyone is around him, his friends, his family, his wife, and they're all throwing the accusations against him, and he's making his case. He's making his case. In verse number 9, he says this. He says, "I am without transgression." Now, his friends saw him as guilty. They thought in their mind, there's no way a man could lose everything. There's no way in the world a man could go through all that Job faced and not have some hidden sin in his life. God must be chastening you, Job. God must be your enemy, Job. And yet we find in verse 12 that Job brings it all to a conclusion and says, "Listen, this is my response to you. You have your way, and you have your words, and you have your wisdom, but God is greater than man. And God has a plan and a purpose in my life." You know, really, there's a wonderful picture here in Job 33 of God's graciousness and God's compassion. As God is working in Job's life, and God is bringing that work to pass in Job's life. And here we're going to consider in this scripture this wonderful statement, God is greater than man. Let me give you some thoughts. If you're taking notes this morning, would you write this down? Number one, the heart of God. And this is really where it begins, the heart of God. Now, we know from the Bible that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And we're not always going to understand the why in the work of God. Listen, there are lots of things that happened to me over the last 42 years of my life that I don't understand the why in the work of God. I don't know why God did what he did. And yet in the book of Job, we are blessed as God's people to be able to look back at the commentary of Job's life. Now, Job didn't know the why. Job didn't have that luxury in his life to see, you know, the devil stand before God and the accusations and God saying, have you considered my servant Job, that he is a righteous man? Job didn't have that luxury in his life, but we have that luxury. And we get to see the why of what God is doing in Job's life. And yet, know this, Job is resting in the heart of Almighty God. He doesn't understand the why, but he knows that God does what is best for his life. And he says it this way in Job 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows what he's doing in my life. I don't understand, but the heart of God is that he does what is best for my life. And friend, listen to me. Don't believe the lie of the devil that whispers in our ear, God doesn't care about you. If God cared about you, why would this happen? Why would he lead you this way? God's heart is, he cares about us, and he leads us in the best way for our good and for his glory. You see, God's way is perfect. You know, as humans, we have our limitations. We have our limitations. And when we make decisions, we bring all the facts and into our life, and then we make a decision based on the data. Someone once said, apparently exercise improves your decision making. Apparently, exercise improves your decision-making. And it's true. They said, after going to the gym today, I've decided never to go again. But the Bible says that God has more data than us. So we take all of our data, all of the information, and we try to make a sound decision. But God is unlimited in his knowledge. Look what Job said in Job 36, verse 4. He said, for truly my words shall not be false. He that is perfect in knowledge is with thee. God, who is perfect in knowledge. The Bible says that God knows all of the answers. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? I mean, God has all of the knowledge, and he always leads us in the right direction. The Bible says in Psalm 23 and verse 3 that it is God, the shepherd, who restoreth my soul, and it is God, my shepherd, who leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God leads us in the right paths for our life. And God's heart is to lead us in the right pathway for our life as believers. And if you're a child of God this morning, then you can rest assured that God is leading and that God is directing us in the right paths for our life. You know, as humans, our advice is fallible. The reality is we can't see tomorrow. We don't know what the future holds. We cannot see the human heart. We don't know the direction of someone's human heart. I can't look inside your heart. You can't look inside my heart and know if we are running to God or running from God. You can't look in my heart and I can't look in your heart, and we can't see the motivation, or we can't see the direction that you're living. The reality is that you can go through the motions and you can still be running from God. You can be sitting in a church pew this morning and yet your heart's still far from God. You could have the heart of Jonah and you could go through the motions but yet still have a bad attitude when it comes to God's plan and God's compassion. And yet the Bible says of God in John 2 verse 25 that Jesus needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. God knows our heart, and God knows our weaknesses. And so he's given us his word to direct us and to protect us and to instruct us. And as we read the Bible, we find full wisdom, and we know how to live life, and we know how to please God, and we know how to give glory to God. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well if ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We do well if we heed the wisdom that God has given to us. And so we must follow him. God provides that wisdom, and God's way is perfect, but we must follow him. God's heart is to bring us to a place that is for our good and for his glory. And that is the heart of God. And yet we cannot enjoy the will of God unless we trust in the leading of God and follow him. The Bible says it this way in Psalm 18 in verse 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Now we know that God's way is perfect. And if we follow God's way for our life, he also makes our way perfect. But we have to follow him. And God gives us the strength to do that. He restores our soul so that we can follow him each and every day. You know, when we follow God's pathway for our life, it is full and it's complete. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. As we continue to follow God, that pathway, that light in our life, it gets brighter and it gets brighter and it gets brighter. But if we follow our own self and we detour away from God, then that light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And the more we follow God, the more we see God in our life. And this is what the Bible is saying. God's way is perfect. And so we must follow him. And we must trust his heart. And this is what Job is saying. He's saying, listen, I don't always understand what God is doing. I don't know why I am where I am. But I trust God that he knows what is best for me. And Job said, I'll trust him. In fact, Job said in Job 13, verse 15, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job says this, even if God kills me, I'm not going to back down from following him because I know that his way is best for my life. And I'm not going to stop trusting God because he has a purpose for me and a plan for my life. It's the heart of God, and it's all through the book of Job. But secondly, let's notice, if you're taking notes, would you write this down? Number two, the help from God. Not only the heart of God, but notice the help from God. Now, right away, we understand from our text that God is greater than man. And when we expect from other humans, when we expect from people that which only God can do, and that which only God can give us, then we end up disappointed. And there's a lot of people in their life, in the Christian life, that they, they may put a pastor or another Christian on a high pedestal, and they expect them to be God in their life. And what happens is they become offended, they become disappointed, and that is not the way that we are to live the Christian life, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to keep our eyes on him. The Bible says in Psalm 121 and verse 2, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Notice here that expression, "My help, it comes from the Lord." My help comes from the Lord. And Job is considering God's work in his life, and God's work was real in his life. And as he's looking at God's work in his life, he speaks of the revelation, or God revealing sin or our own human direction. And so what he says is that God reveals our pathway, first of all, through revelation. Look what the Bible says in Job chapter 33 in verse 15. He says, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw men from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword." Now, in Job's day, God revealed the very purposes of man and the direction of man's heart through dreams and through visions. And the Bible says that these dreams and these visions had a purpose. They were to open the ears of men so that they would turn to God, so that they would see the error of their own way, and that they would follow God's way and not follow the way of the pit. Now, not all dreams that someone had were of God, and not all of these dreams had hidden special meanings. But there was no doubt that as we read through the Old Testament that God used dreams, and we see this throughout the Bible. In fact, Joseph had a dream concerning his brothers and concerning God's plan for him in the future. Even Pilate's wife had a dream concerning the Lord Jesus. And yet in our day, God uses his word through the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you this morning that there are no new revelations outside of the word of God. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, "God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." God has revealed our direction and our human heart through the word of God. And someone who had read the Bible for the first time said it this way, "The one who wrote this book made my heart." God reveals our motives and our heart's direction. But also Job says that God reveals our pathway through suffering. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. "He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers." Now we know as Bible students this morning that not all suffering is chastening. Just because someone's sick or is suffering in their life doesn't mean that they have sin in their life. It doesn't mean that God is judging them. Sometimes, if we were honest this morning, sometimes the suffering that we face in our life is because we are reaping what we have sown. Someone has said that there are people who come to church, they sow their wild oats all week long, and then they come to church on Sunday and they pray for crop failure. And the Bible says we reap what we sow. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. And yet Job is saying that sufferings in our life, it can humble us, and it can get our attention, and it can turn our heart to God. No one wants to be sick, and all of us pray for healing, but instead of God doing a removing job of the suffering in our life, maybe our first prayer ought to be for God to do an improving job and say, God, what are you teaching me through this suffering in my life? I mean, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul, right? He had a thorn in his flesh. He prayed three times, I believe three seasons of prayer, for God to remove that thorn in his flesh. And God said no. But God said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. I have a purpose in this thorn, because if you're proud, I cannot use you to the extent I want to use you. And so God humbled him through the suffering in his life. God has a purpose and God has a plan. And so here Job is saying that God is working in his life. And yet God provides help to us. God provides help to us. And really, Job paints this incredible picture in the following verses. God has revealed the sin or the direction of the human heart. He has brought suffering to try to get man's attention, but they would not respond. And so here Job is saying they're drawing closer to the grave. And the Bible says here the destroyers are here, and they've come to capture him. The Bible says in verse 22, notice it together, yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. But wait, Job gives us this incredible thought. Someone stands up, one among a thousand, and it's a messenger, Job says in verse 23, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, or a mediator, one among a thousand to show unto man his righteousness. Job is saying, listen, we're helpless. We don't have the answers. We are heading away from God. If only there was a mediator. If only there was someone to help us. If only there was someone to intercept our direction and allow us to follow him, that we can be restored again. And the Bible says in verse 24, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. I tell you, friends, this is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mediation in our life. It's a wonderful picture of what Christ can do for us. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. One interpreter, as Job would say. One mediator, and that is the man Christ Jesus. We were hopelessly lost. We were on our way to a devil's hell, and Jesus stood up and said, I will be a ransom. I will take their place. A ransom, the thought there, is valued compensation for a wrong. And we were transgressors. We had broken the law of God. We have missed the mark. We are sinners, for we have come short of the glory of God. And yet the Bible says in Matthew 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You see, friend, listen to me. Only God can provide the ransom. Only God can provide the ransom. I love what the Bible says here in this wonderful statement, one in a thousand. And it teaches us that humanity could not solve the problem of their sin, that they didn't have the answer. There was no way for them to be healed. And yet the Bible says that Jesus came, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so many people today try to be that ransom, either through a denomination or church or good works or some merit of their own. But friend, today we cannot save ourselves. God is greater than man and anything that we can do. And the Bible says that he became our ransom. He took our place. But also we see that he continues to give us grace each and every day. He forgives our sins, but we're a part of his family. And the Bible says he helps us. He guides our way. We can pray to him. We read his word for instruction. He comforts us in times of sorrow. And we come boldly before his throne of grace. And we obtain mercy. And we find that grace to help in time of need in our life. And Job realized this truth, that God wasn't against him. God was for him. God was on his side. And God was his helper. And that he is greater. Thirdly, and I'll be done, the hope in God. The hope in God. I remember one time we were on vacation. We were heading to a place that was pretty well known, a pretty well-known vacation spot, but we didn't know how to get there, and so we were following our GPS, and we had no idea where we were going, and we had no idea where the GPS was taking us. We were going through some pretty shady places, and it just didn't seem right. And I remember my wife turning to me and saying, "Are you sure this is right?" And I'm like, "I'm just following the GPS. I'm just doing what it tells me to do." And so we would just stay positive, and we just trusted that GPS, and we got there. It was fine. We got there finally. And yet this is what Job is saying. Job's confidence is not in a man-made GPS. Job's confidence is in God, and he's trusting God, and his confidence is in God, and he's saying God is greater than man. You know, we have people around us telling us, don't trust the Bible. The Bible is old-fashioned. You can't trust the Bible. The Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. You can't build your life on the Bible. That's what our world echoes time and time again. And yet I'm here to tell you that you can build your life on that solid rock, that God will not let you down, that he can be trusted. As Job said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. His hope is in God. God help us today. As we live our life in our world today, the Bible teaches us that if we build our life upon God's word and this solid foundation of Jesus Christ, that we will not be confounded. We will never be disappointed. That Jesus Christ came, he was died on the cross, was placed in a borrowed tomb, and he was raised from the dead so that we could have hope and we can have faith in God. And we can trust him today. Not only does he save us, but also he's there to help us. You know, the world thinks that they have all the answers, but the world knows nothing. They know nothing. But we know God, and we can trust in him. And we know that he cares deeply about our lives. God, help us today to understand that he is greater. He's greater than the wisdom of men. He's greater than our own way. We must have faith and trust in him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to close our message in prayer in just a moment.